Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this May the 17th on the West Coast, now May the 18th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome, as usual, all those listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on BlogTalkRadio.com. Well, there's a lot that we're going to talk about tonight. Our guest, as you may have surmised, if you looked at the schedule, you know, is Dr. H. Watt. He's been on the show pretty regularly, and he just finished up his show on the micro effect. So I'm going to give him a moment or two to catch his breath, because he rushed over here to jump on this show as soon as he got off the air. And I'm going to play a very interesting clip, which has all the pertinence in the world that one could muster up in light of my recent research on Eisenhower and this issue of who's pulling the strings behind the scenes. Now, certainly what you're about to hear is not describing who's pulling the strings, but what it's going to present is that, and I believe this is the meeting of 1954 at Holloman Air Force Base, there was the opportunity to enlist some friendly support from the heavens, we'll say, and former state representative from New Hampshire, Henry McElroy Jr., decided it was important before he left office to take advantage of the staff and the film crew that he had there and document something that he read, a document that he saw. And so this is a very old recording taken from film. The film itself was converted into a digital medium, and it's got some rumbling sound in that, but you can make out the words very well, so pardon the background noise. It's part of the process of, let's say, converting this from a regular film onto the digital format now. And whoever did that really didn't know a whole lot about how to do it without creating a bunch of noise. But nevertheless, this is former New Hampshire State Representative Henry McElroy Jr.
Hello, I'm speaking with you from Fort Monroe, Virginia. We're also known as the Gateway to Freedom. We sit right next to a little town called Phoebus, Virginia. Interestingly, they call themselves the Gateway to the New World. Phoebus sits inside of Hampton, Virginia, whose motto is first from the sea, first to the stars. My name is Henry McElroy, Jr., a retiring former state representative from New Hampshire. Thank you for your attention to this brief message concerning the world's interaction with both Earth-based and off-world astronauts. The reason I am making this announcement is in the hopes of encouraging better perspective to all who explore the universe. Therefore, as a result, making a more valuable contribution to humanity for the benefit of all faiths, all races, and all nations. Another reason I am here today is because I believe in the foundational wisdom of our nation, which was laid down by our founding fathers, and because we know that highly advanced knowledge and information can assist human beings in solving various problems, both in current times and in our future. When I was in the New Hampshire State Legislature, I served on the State Federal Relations and Veterans Affairs Committee. It was apparently important that as a representative of the sovereign people who had elected me to this honorable office, that I be updated on a large number of topics related to the affairs of our people and our nation. As I understood it, some of those ongoing topics had been examined and categorized as federal, state, local development, and security matters. These documents related to various topics, some of which spanned decades of our nation's history. One of those recurring topics is the reason I am addressing you this evening. I would like to submit to our nation my personal testimony of one document related to one of these ongoing topics, which I saw while in office serving on the State Federal Relations and Veterans Affairs Committee. What I saw was an official brief to President Eisenhower. To the best of my memory, this brief was pervaded with a sense of hope, and it informed President Eisenhower of the continued presence of extraterrestrial beings here in the United States of America. The brief seemed to indicate that a meeting between the President and some of these visitors could be arranged as appropriate, if desired. The tone of the brief indicated to me that there was no need for concern, since these visitors were in no way causing any harm or had any intention whatsoever of causing any disruption then or in the future. While I can't verify the times or places or that any meeting or meetings occurred directly between Eisenhower and these visitors, because of his optimism in his farewell address in 1961, I personally believe that Eisenhower did indeed meet with these extraterrestrial off-world astronauts. I hope my personal testimony will aid the nation in its quest for continued enlightenment. I am honored to follow in the footsteps of those who have come forward with their personal testimonies, those who deserve the admiration of the American people for sharing their accounts publicly, in an effort to elevate our knowledge to a higher understanding of our existence. People such as former astronaut John Glenn, Edgar Mitchell, Gordon Cooper, and Buzz Aldrin, just to name a few. Former presidents Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter, Captain Bill Newhouse of the United States Marine Corps, Lieutenant Colonel John Williams of the United States Air Force, Colonel Philip Corso, Sr. of the United States Army, Commander Graham Bethune of the United States Navy, along with David Hamilton of the Department of Energy, Donna Hare of NASA, and James Coop of the National Security Agency. I would also like to thank the countries of France, Brazil, Britain, Russia, Italy, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, New Zealand, and our neighbor to the north, Canada, Uruguay, and Australia, for also opening their files to the citizens of their countries and allowing them access to information that is so very important to the evolution of humanity. I thank you for allowing me this opportunity to have a small part in doing the same by sharing the information I have given you today. Thank you very much. And I'd like to thank our communications crew for helping us make this happen today. And I'd also like to authorize distribution of this video for anyone who wants to use it for educational purposes. And thank you.
And that was former New Hampshire State Representative Henry McElroy Jr. upon his retirement from office. With that, I want to bring on to tonight's show our guest. He's been waiting patiently in the wings here, hasn't uttered a peep. And as I mentioned, he just finished a two-hour show, his own show, The Story Behind the Story, heard now Monday through Friday evenings at 10, well, no, let me take that back. Pacific time is from 8 to 10 Pacific. And here he is again to visit us on Evident Footprints. My good friend, Dr. A. True Ah. True, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks again, Don. Yes, it's a pleasure to be on the show, and it does 2 hours earlier just absolutely flew by. We had a lively discussion, as you know. I'm amazed at that clip you played. I was just listening and taking notes because it brings back some of my earlier Story Behind the Story programs, which we recorded live at KSUB Radio Station that are in Cedar City. I brought into the discussion Mr. Bill Cooper, who wrote a book called Behold the Pale Horse. Now, in private discussions with Bill Cooper, he said exactly the same thing that we just heard in that clip. And he, being with his credentials, being part of Navy intelligence, he claimed to be actually privy to the meetings between these beings and Eisenhower. Cooper explained that there were two groups. One was what he termed a galactic federation group that was completely and totally benevolent, but really wished to have Eisenhower and the other world leaders meet and basically destroy any nuclear bombs, okay, and basically just put that nuclear genie completely back in the bottle. And they were promised if they did that, they would be brought into the Federation as a member nation, and with all kinds of peaceful technology, be given a great gift. But there were an opposing force that was bestly described, and this is the first I'd ever heard of the term reptilian. Cooper said that there was a presence on Earth that predated humankind. Really, they were from deep inside the Earth, and they had a presence there. But they were also tied to a very malevolent alien force that were based and predicated on power and control and robbery and everything that's wrong with society. And it was clear that the powers that be in not only the U.S. government at that time, but the shadowy intelligence agencies had already, prior to the advent of the Federation, Galactic Federation, had made strong treaties and agreements with world powers. So that's what Bill Cooper testified to me. And now we have this congressman saying the exact same thing. Incredible information, Don.
Yes, and there are others. There are regular people, in fact. They've learned, I say they, meaning these benevolent groups from other realms, the Federation, for example, has stated emphatically that every attempt to deal with the governments of the world results in threats or attempts on their lives. And so they would much rather prefer to deal with the people who are awakening at this time. And you have to ask yourself what the motivation of this state representative would have been. I think he was in a position still to be heard, and his intention was to get this message out to people. This is quite an old video, but nonetheless, or I should say film. Initially, it was a film. There's a truth that comes out that is indisputable. Just the tone of his voice. He doesn't have an axe to grind. I don't know what repercussions he experienced after having made that, but the information's out there. And much like you said, these reptilians are all over the galaxy, and wherever they go, they wreak havoc. But this is the group that Eisenhower actually was a part of, and I feel he was related to the group.
Could very well be. Nobody really knows for sure. We can speculate. You can do your homework. But the man's a mystery man, no doubt about it. The things just don't add up. Did you, the little clip we played on my show, Michelle Obama, just I think it was just last month, addressing the Washington Convention of LGBT, lesbian, gay, transgender, and bisexual lobby group, just flat out admitted that Obama's home country, she used the exact words, home country, is Kenya. Now, we're having so many questionable policies coming up. Everything he's doing is clearly illegal because it's based on his fraud and he has no right to be there. He never even publicly took the oath of office on the Bible as tradition. There was that snafu, as you remember, Don and listeners, where they had to redo it in private, in a private ceremony, where the word I had it was that he basically did a mockery, a reversal of it, and swore lowly oath on the Quran, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
Now, how do we know what this man, this being, really is, what his agenda really is?
Well, first of all, you have to look at this. Again, we have the Hegelian dialectic argument in our face again, you see. And those statements, although intended to appear as if they were Freudian slips, you know, she didn't really mean to say it, but it, you know, oh, the truth came out. Now we know he's really from Kenya. That's no more true than Hawaii. And the evidence shows that. If it were true, you wouldn't have to fake family photos of people related to you in Kenya.
I'm not debating that it's true. I'm just saying that she's admitting he's not natural born, no matter where he's from.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And I suspect at some point somebody's going to slip up and say Mars. And it might be a lot closer to where he's from. Okay, in doing so, the overwhelming evidence that these people are not who they say they are just keeps expanding and expanding as the days go on. We have a lot of listeners, and we have people that read our websites and they listen to all these different shows, and something from time to time clicks in them, and they embark upon a mission. They dig up things like what I played here, or they dig up some old documents, And if you've paid attention to what's coming out, you know, this story about Kenya and Michelle Obama, this was out there last October too. She made this statement several times last year. And I think they do that intentionally just to see who's really paying attention, to see if anybody's really listening. Well, we listen to every word, and we discern every word as to whether or not it's coming from the truth, if it's based in truth or it's just more lies.
Mm-hmm.
When does anyone expect these people to start telling the truth? Because they lie about everything, beginning with who they are. You can't really put much credibility to anything they say. And I'm not chastising your bringing up the fact that she said that. If she was telling the truth, why was it necessary for Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama to bring forth a resolution before the Congress to declare John McCain a U.S. citizen in 2008? April 30th of 2008, they introduced a bill which would basically bring about a resolution officially declaring John McCain a U.S. citizen eligible for the presidency. Isn't that interesting? And then another month or month and a half later, they did the same thing with Obama in Hawaii, snuck his name in the midst of some Don Ho characters. Who were being honored for the state of Hawaii. And they made this proclamation that because he was born in the state of Hawaii. And officially, the people in Hawaii are saying they never became a state. You have this document out there. You can Google this, the Sovereign Kingdom of Hawaii. And there's all kinds of documentation that was sent to Bill Clinton when he was president, informing him that they never were properly made a state. They didn't want to be a state. They were basically hijacked. And this propaganda was shoved down the throats of all the rest of us here on the mainland. That's a real sore spot with most indigenous Hawaiians. So you have these intel psyops going on left and right, creating these fictional stories about who these people are, and they really don't even have anything to do with who they really are. That's the amazing thing. It goes much, much deeper than that. The reason I brought this up is because I think it's pertinent for us to talk about who pulls the strings. Who created these idiots in Washington that seem to not care what the people say, their constituents? Why they're on this rampage of just destroying all of our rights, our civil rights, our constitutional rights. Every good thing that this country was founded on has been destroyed by these people. They're even destroying the illusory financial system that they invented for their benefit. They're destroying that intentionally to destroy us. Because there were so many people that believed that's the only way they could survive is to have that system in place. And there's somebody behind the scenes that doesn't really give a darn about it, who pulls the strings. And I talked about this with Drew Raines on his show today, and I thought it would be interesting to share this with my audience, too. What are your thoughts on that, Drew?
Well, yeah, I'm just you're right on point. I'm just getting a hold of Aaron Klein's book, The Manchurian President. I had Aaron Klein scheduled to go on my radio show about 3 months ago, but he had a conflict. Maybe he just gotten too big. I don't know. But this book is amazing. I don't know if you know this or not, but it's now as of Friday was 22nd on the New York Times bestseller list. So, I mean, people are buying this thing like crazy. It's flying off the store shelves. It's amazing what the reviews are about with this, because nobody is really debating the issues here. It's just more or less attacking him for partisanship, Mr. Klein, which is what typically what these people do when they're exposed, they attack the messenger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been a pattern, and we see that all over the place. The truth is coming out from so many different places, though. You know, Pastor James David Manning has got this trial going on in New York, and I think they're in their fourth day now. I don't know if they took Saturday, their sabbatical, off. They may have with church services and that, but from what I understand, they're presenting a lot of evidence. And, of course, many of the subpoenas were ignored. So they're going to move forward with that. But even Pastor Manning has at least seen that the alleged attendance at several colleges is bogus, that there's no proof. And he subpoenaed many witnesses who went to the school at the time the short-legged Mac Daddy was there or alleged to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the photographs lie and belie the story. The one photograph of his alleged graduation with his alleged grandparents sitting on an alleged park bench in the alleged South end of Central Park, just in a stone's throw view of the UN building to the south, or where the way they're sitting, they're facing in such a way that the building is to their left. And one who knows that area can determine where they're allegedly sitting in this thing. And this is another photo compilation where Barack Obama's pants are six different colors, six different shades. One leg is about a foot longer than the other to the knee, all of it obscured in shadows and intentional darkening. But the telltale sign of that photograph, which was allegedly taken in 1983 upon his graduation from Columbia University, he's wearing his 1992 wedding ring. So, you know, and he's wearing the ring at a time when his alleged grandfather was already buried in a cemetery in Hawaii. So, you know, how do you make any sense of this? It's just one lie on top of the other.
Well, I wanted to get what your thoughts are concerning this Pastor Manning trial, and there in Harlem, I guess I just got updates on it. I'm just getting them downloaded now. Pretty much, first day is in the books, and the trial really begins tomorrow in earnest. What's your thoughts about it, Don? I mean, you've got five basic indictments in this lawsuit with Pastor Manning. He says, quote, the first indictment alleges first that this is against Columbia University, that they both Columbia and Obama conspired to defraud and commit wire fraud and mail fraud. And number two, Columbia University knowingly concealed the fact that Obama is not a natural-born citizen. Three, Columbia University aided and abetted in obstructing justice. Four, Obama fraudulently obtained office of the POTUS, P-O-T-U-S, gaining access to sensitive materials, posing a danger to national security. And five, the prosecution dropped the charges of treason and espionage to avoid complications with a possible death sentence if convicted of this. So, Dr. Manning made a personal statement that the charges of treason and espionage were dropped due to the fact that if the jury found Obama guilty, they may recommend the death penalty. Manning says he does not believe in capital punishment and therefore recommended to the prosecution that those charges be dropped. Now, they when they went outside, there was quite a race riot there in Harlem. Some of the neighbors fought with Manning's people, and that this was the trial was going on. quite an amazing story here, because they I haven't seen any news media on this, Don.
Well, the video and the basic facts that you're reading come from Salon.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do a little bit of research on who that is, it's a leftist. It's a leftist writer who's identifying, at least by first names, the jurors as well as their occupations. Now, normally, that's something that the mainstream media is allowed to do after the fact, but it's intentionally trying to contaminate the jury pool, this style of writing. And I really feel it's poor writing, to tell you the truth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No doubt about that.
You know, it's almost a parody of what's going on. I couldn't even play the clip on internet radio unless I wanted to warn people to leave the room.
Mm-hmm.
Because the language is so vulgar. And these are the people that are supporting the short-legged Mac Daddy. They have no idea what this is about, other than they've been sent there to harass the people, to demonstrate. And it's not an organized, peaceful demonstration. The police moved in and moved this one woman away, and she's really bordering on assault. They should have arrested her, actually, but maybe they were just told not to touch anyone, you know, try to defuse any dissension. It certainly casts a different light on the proceedings that are going on inside the courtroom. These people aren't interested at all in what evidence is being presented. They're all they can do is swear at the participants, and in a very vulgar way. It shows the class of people that are, you know, as we've been saying on some recent shows, are the non-producers of the world.
Well, just like that clip you played on last week's show, I had received that as well, and it was so obnoxious. It was, it was a parody, but it was very accurate.
Oh, yes, you're talking about Glozell.
Glozell, that's right. I got Glozell.
Yeah.
Oh, golly.
Well, my thoughts on this. First of all, Pastor Manning made a really, really poignant statement a couple of weeks ago, and I played the audio of that last Friday. And use that basically to talk. Jim Murray was my guest that night, to talk about responsibility and spirituality and consciousness and all of those things. We used what he said basically to tie all those things together, because he said, you're not going to stop this guy through the establishment. The establishment is corrupt. He's corrupted it. They've given him power. It's satanic power. And he underscores the fact that this is spiritual warfare. And I have to agree with him. That's why I played it. And that the show was very well received.
Uh-huh.
Even the Galactic Federation heard the show and responded to it. I got comments back. So I know that's what they appreciate hearing. And we deal with a lot of difficult topics, because there were so many people who were very closed-minded about, you know, what life is about. I told Drew's audience this afternoon that I had a conversation with a person who was sort of rather apathetic to everything going on in the world, and I asked some questions like, you know, what do you do? What is your interest in? What is your expertise? This is a 26-year-old. And the comments I got were basically, well, I don't really do anything. This person has a job, but doesn't specialize in anything. What are you interested in? Well, I'm not really interested in anything. Well, if someone were to come up to you and tell you that if there was a way for you to find out who you were and why you were here, would that interest you? No, it wouldn't. You've never asked yourself why you're here, what life is about? No. You wouldn't care to know maybe what your calling was? I don't want to know that, was the response I got. And it was amazing. It's the newest level of denial I've seen. Not only do I not want to face any issues and any problems in the world, I don't even want to know who I am. Talk about a successful brainwashing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I guess there's a lot of people. The reason I bring that up is not to make fun of this person, but you want to help somebody like that. You want to open their eyes. And I just have the feeling that when that person's eyes get opened, it's going to be a traumatic experience that causes it. And the fear is going to take over. Basically that person is talking out of fear anyway. Why should we fear the realization of what has occurred in this country over the last 100 or so years? Why should people fear that? And I have to tell you, there are a lot of people in fear. They listen to us, they understand and recognize when they're hearing the truth, but they're lost then. They expect us to show them the truth and then show them the way out. And even when we do it, they don't recognize it. Because people aren't really listening, they're not really paying attention, are they?
Yeah. Well, you know, did you happen to see that Wall Street Journal article on Sunday about Obama?
The one about him receiving $6 million? Or is that another?
No, this is written by Joseph E. Marty on Sunday's Wall Street Journal. And I tell you, this is amazing expose, Don. It's just stunning coming from this, from the Wall Street Journal. Actually, I guess this is written by a guy named Eddie Sessions. Do you mind if we just talk about some of this and quote it?
No, not at all. You're my guest.
Eddie sure. Sessions said, quote, "I have this theory about Barack Obama. I think he's led a kind of make-believe life in which money was provided and doors were opened because at some point early on, somebody or some group took a look at this tall, good-looking, half-white, half-black young man with an exotic African/Muslim name and concluded that he could be guided toward a life in politics where his facile speaking skills could even put him in the White House. In a very real way, he has been a young man in a very big hurry. Who else do you know has written two memoirs before the age of 45? Good point, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Dreams of My Father was published in 1995 when he was only 34 years old, just about the same age as Hitler when he wrote Mein Kampf. By the way, that's not the quote. There are some who think that his mentor and friend Bill Ayers, a man who calls himself a communist with a small c, was the real author of this. His political skills consisted of rarely voting on anything that might be deemed controversial. He went from a legislator in the Illinois legislature to the senator from that state just because he had the good fortune of having Mayor Daley's formidable political machine at his disposal. He was in the U.S. Senate so briefly that his bid for the presidency was either an act of astonishing self-confidence or part of some greater game plan that had been determined before he even stepped foot in the Capitol. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Quote, how many must wonder, was he selected to be a 2004 keynote speaker at the Democratic Convention that nominated John Kerry when virtually no one had ever heard of him before? That's another good point. He outmaneuvered Hillary Clinton in primaries. He took Iowa by storm, a charming young man, an anomaly in the state with a very small black population. He oozed cool in a place where agriculture was the antithesis of cool. He dazzled the locals, and he had an army of volunteers drawn to a charisma that hid any real substance. That's real sad, too, isn't it? And then he had the great good fortune of having the Republicans select one of the most inept candidates for the presidency since Bob Dole. And then John McCain did something crazy. He picked Sarah Palin, an unknown female governor from the very distant state of Alaska. It was a ticket that was reminiscent of 1984's Walter Mondale and Geraldine Ferraro, and they went down to defeat. The mainstream political media fell in love with him. It was a schoolgirl crush with febrile commentators like Chris Matthews swooning then and now over the man. The venom directed against McCain, and in particular Palin, was extraordinary. Now, nearly a full year into his first term, all of those gilded years leading up to the White House have left him woefully unprepared to be president. Left to his own instincts, he has a talent for saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. It swiftly became a joke that he could not deliver even the briefest of statements without the ever-present teleprompters. Far worse, however, is his capacity to want to wish away some terrible realities, not the least of which is the Islamic intention to destroy America and enslave the West. Any student of history knows how swiftly Islam initially spread. It knocked on the doors of Europe, having gained a foothold in Spain. The great crowds that greeted him at home or on his campaign world tour were no substitute for having even the slightest grasp of history and the reality of a world filled with really bad people with really bad intentions. Oddly, and perhaps even inevitably, his political experience, a cakewalk, has positioned him to destroy the Democratic Party's hold on power in Congress, because in the end it was never about the party. It was always about his communist ideology, learned at an early age from family, mentors, college professors, and extreme leftist friends and colleagues. Obama is a man who could deliver a snap judgment about a Boston police officer who arrested an, quote, obstreperous Harvard professor friend, but would warn Americans against, quote, jumping to conclusions about a mass murderer at Fort Hood who shouted, Allah Akbar. The absurdity of that was lost on no one. He has since compounded this by calling the Christmas bomber, quote, an isolated extremist, only to have to admit a day or two later that he was part of an Al-Qaeda plot. Obama is a man who could strive to close down our detention facility at Guantanamo, even though those released were known to have returned to the battlefield against America. He could even instruct his attorney general to afford the perpetrator of 9/11 a civil trial when no one else would ever even consider such an obscenity. And he is a man who could wait 3 days before having anything to say about the perpetrator or yet another terrorist attack on Americans, and then have to elaborate on his remarks the following day because his first statement was so lame. You see, that this is still just so much the establishment, but this is the last paragraph that's important. This pattern repeats itself. He either blames any problem on the Bush administration, or he naively seeks to wish away the truth. Knock, knock, anyone home? Anyone there? Barack Obama exists only as the sock puppet of his handlers, of the people who have maneuvered and manufactured this pathetic individual's life. When anyone else would quickly and easily produce a birth certificate, this man has spent over $1 million to deny access to his. Most other documents, the paper trail we all leave in our wake, have been sequestered from review. He has lived a make-believe life whose true facts remain hidden. We laugh at this ventriloquist dummy, but what do you do when the dummy is president of the United States of America? Isn't that interesting?
Yes. And it makes me sort of sound like a prophet because I was honest, I hadn't read that. I did find the whole thing actually on one website while you were reading it. And yes, it's loaded with spin. You know, this thing about, well, another attack from Al-Qaeda, that revives the Hegelian dialectical ruse played by the CIA, of which he is a part. There is no doubt. Reverend Manning came to that on his own conclusion, although certainly I wrote about that and showed how his alleged parent, I have to say parent, because the people who were being, and alleged is, you know, capital letters and quotes and underlined and block letters, the whole nine yards. It's just part of the same lie. You wouldn't need to fake photos. You see, there are no photos, no genuine family photos, no genuine school photos, because there was no genuine family and there was no genuine school. This whole thing is a ruse from beginning to end, and it continues to be one as time goes on. So you know there are some good points in this article, but it again entertains the reality of what is nothing more than an illusion. The guy is commenting on illusions. This is smoke and mirrors. This guy is not who he said he was, who he says he is, and it's obvious. Now, I agree with his statement about communism, but we had that same thing going on when Eisenhower was here, and I've made that connection. It's the same group of people behind the scenes that pulled this off, and Chicago was their main nest. They brought their operatives into Denison, Texas, but they... Once they got their phony paperwork and everything, and that was handled by Eisenhower's brother. Lonnie Roberts was the main alias he was using in the beginning. But he used many of them, many aliases. I came up with so many aliases that I would still be writing the article if I included everything I know about all the aliases.
Uh-huh.
But I put a dozen or so within the article. And they're pretty pertinent because they tie this money laundering scheme to real estate across the country and to four different churches, and I'm saying national churches, and then it ties into this NASA, you know, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration is part of this, and this link goes much deeper than it appears on the surface. And it goes into the Army, and it goes into the Navy, and the Veterans Administration, the Social Security funding. They raided everything, the railroads, the unions, not just the regular old AFL-CIO, but all the unions, and in particular, the railroads. So they set this up to eventually take it all down. And that's what we're seeing right now. The way the short-legged Mac Daddy is carrying this out is no different from what Eisenhower intended it to be when it was set up. This went on many years, 50 years before him under Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt played a major role in facilitating the infiltration of all these people. And he did it when he was the police commissioner in New York back in 1895 and all the way through his presidency. Who did he go see after he left office? He went to see Franz Joseph I in Austria-Hungary. And in my article, I put the video of that up there. It was a little-known video for a long time. Nobody knew that. Nobody knew that he even made that trip. He was allegedly on a safari in Africa at the time. And so it shows. 1910, he was already setting this thing up. And it wasn't many years after that Franz Joseph died after after World War I got started, and it was a relative of his that was the cause of World War I. So this was his way of getting back at Western Europe as well as the United States. Infiltrate the country with your family, with your bloodline, and get them into the office. And it can be accomplished by bribing people, which they did. There's no doubt about that, that government officials were bribed for a good 50 to 60 years prior to Eisenhower's arrival. It was an old hat. It was already a foregone conclusion that they could sneak him into the country, like they did McCain, a.k.a. McCann, like they did Bush, a.k.a. Scherf. And actually, McCain and Eisenhower were secreted into the country about the same time. Very, very close.
All right.
And, you know, they can look at the stories we have. Look at the books we have. Oh, they went to this university and they went to this military academy. And you just don't find that in the records. You would think that someone like McCain, the grandfather and the father, the alleged grandfather and father, these are all siblings. They're siblings. And their histories were manufactured. You know, Senior supposedly went to the Naval Academy at Annapolis with Admiral Halsey, the individual that became Admiral Halsey. And he's on the ship with him, and he looks 20 years older. He looks 20 years older than everybody he ever took a picture with. That's because he was. When they were saying he was 60, he was 80. And he looked the part. And they said, well, that's from all the years at sea. Well, everyone else he allegedly grew up with was out at sea the same number of years. Why didn't they look 20 years older? You know, these are the lies that they tell us. And because we have a corrupt government whose strings are pulled by somebody else, let's go back to that topic for a moment, you know, someone else is pulling the strings here. So the main thing is that they want to maintain power, and they don't like the fact that there are people waking up and putting out the truth. They spent all these years building this, and it's collapsing on them, and they're getting desperate. They're fearful, and we have to keep hammering them over the head until they get it. Go ahead, True.
Well, you're right on. again, it just goes back to that that group of 13 Illuminati families. I'm just comparing the dots and then connecting them, and it does indeed go back. I just got on Dr. Jack Wheeler's website and read some of his latest papers, and he's coming to that same exact conclusion that it is a very dark alien force, if you can use that word. I don't know how much you know about Dr. Jack Wheeler, but this guy's a pretty amazing story. What a life he's lived.
Well, I've read some of the things he said, not lately. I've been busy writing my own.
Right. Right. This guy's got to be, you know, he reminds me of that silly commercial, that Dos Equis commercial, or the most interesting man in the world, you know. But if you believe what's on the website, this guy has just been all over the globe doing the most incredibly amazing work. It's just, and the pictures are there to prove it. I mean, quite an expeditionary adventurer. Amazing, amazing man. But yeah, he's coming out and saying basically the same thing you're saying, and we're all been saying, is that this man has one goal and mission, and that's to destroy this Republic of America. That's just it in a nutshell.
Yes, and you know, he's got help. If again, you know, we've been lied to about the Clintons. Don't you find it interesting that all these people had somebody leave the family or somebody died in the process of this family, these families coming about? We had this with the Bushes. An alleged great-great-great-grandfather, Obadiah Newcomb Bush, got the gold fever bug, got bitten by that bug, and instead of leaving New York, I think they alleged he lived in, leaving New York to go to Oregon across the country, he takes a ship around the tip of South America. And when after he basically came up empty-handed, the alleged story is, he went back to New York around the tip of South America on a ship and died at ship. And, of course, they have to dispose of the body, right? Mm-hmm. Burial at sea. Well, you know, it's just a farce. It's a yarn. It's a fable. A tall tale, whatever you want to call it. They have to invent these stories. In each individual, you have the same stories. Their parents didn't want them to get married, or their parents' parents didn't want them to get married, or their grandparents' parents didn't want them to get married because they weren't good enough, or they were outside. And this is somehow supposed to endear us to these people that, wow, you know, the parents didn't know what they were saying because he became president. When in reality, he's not even the person that they're claiming he is. That family didn't even exist. You see? You can't have both. Oh, and then, you know, we have Dorothy Emma Howell. That's an interesting name now that belongs to Hillary's mother, her maiden name, Dorothy Emma Howell. Dorothy Gale from The Wizard of Oz, Auntie M from The Wizard of Oz, and Mr. Howell from Gilligan's Island. Mm-hmm. Those are the three names. I can't look at it any other way because the pictures are fabricated, compilations. One family photo when she was a little girl. Again, you have these strange circumstances. The families are all divided in days when parents didn't get divorced. Parents stayed married till the end. Not these people. But then again, they don't even get married. They just say they're married. And in many cases, they make up the names of the people. The people never even existed. Eisenhower's parents is a perfect example. Obama's parents are another example. Same thing. Bush's parents is another example. McCain's parents, another example. Eisenhower's parents, another example. These are fictions from top to bottom. Now, who would have an interest in creating people to be our leaders like that? I can only think of one species. Certainly not anyone interested in the human race for any other reason other than to enslave it, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And then all of their efforts, the government's efforts, are on eavesdropping, wiretapping, intercepting email, intercepting physical snail mail. Espionage, spying on your homes, bombarding us with electromagnetic weapons and electromagnetic technologies and satellites. And I mean, don't they have anything better to do? Like fix the potholes in the roads, arrest the drug criminals? Well, they are the criminals, you see. They are the criminals, so they're not going to arrest themselves.
All right. And of course, like I mentioned on my show, again, I just want to just leave this in closing, is what happened last Friday here on my street, Don. You've been in my home.
Yeah.
It's a fairly upscale neighborhood. We're not definitely not in the ghetto. Well, I went to get to the office in the morning, and here's here's four county sheriff's police cars with lights flashing and the corner house, and they're making this search and seizure. And doggone if they didn't come out with just loads of semi-automatic weapons and guns and manuals calling for an attack on Americans, gringos, indiscriminately in a planned attack to basically take back what they feel is Mexican territory that was wrongfully taken by America in the 1840s with the Mexican-American War. Now, this is pretty amazing, and the manuals that they brought out were just cases of them. They were distributing to the what looked like illegal immigrant mercenaries coming in to foment some problems. Well, that appears to be happening in every state, not just Utah. There appears to be an organized movement with these people to start attacking America when it's called for. Kind of sobering, isn't it? And here we have Obama being the champion of this. I think it's part of their plan to fund these provocateurs to basically attack and create such instability that martial law is declared and America's in real trouble.
Well, yeah, you have to ask yourself, why is this permitted? There can only be one conclusion, and that's what you just said. And from the top, I mean, you remember, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, they were talking about, well, even back after 9/11, they were talking about building a wall along our southern border, building a fence. And, this is going to take forever, but we're doing it. And they showed people jumping the fence while Bush was standing there or sitting there in a chair talking about how this fence was underway and it was being built. There was a guy jumping it. And they actually showed it on one of the late night comedy shows that they caught it on film and released this. There's actually a guy jumping the fence coming into the United States illegally. So even the fence didn't do the job where they had it built. But it's gone far beyond that. Intrusions of the Mexican army guarding the drug caravans that are coming into the country. This is tolerated because the government is sponsoring this. And what you're describing in your area is the same thing. And it's everywhere. You're right. It is everywhere.
Well, I asked the officer. I said, "Well, why isn't this is kind of widespread? Why isn't this on the news?" He says, "I don't know. It should be. This is a huge, huge story, and nobody's talking about it. Though they wanted to give the information out." There's against the media silence. They don't want to do anything to demonize, these illegal immigrants whatsoever. And then, of course, you got this movie that's going to be released. You can actually Google up the trailer for the movie. It's called Machete. It's sobering, Don. What this movie's espousing, and it's again geared to the propaganda piece that the gringos are evil, need to be taken out, whatever means and way necessary.
So this is social conditioning again. They're putting the cart before the horse to show us what's coming.
I got to tell you, just my local cable TV news has some Hispanic channels, and they're promoting the living crud out of this Machete movie. Just probably as much in the Hispanic market as this Iron Man 2's been promoted. That's scary, Don. To me, what would happen if there was a movie made out where the Anglos just get ticked off and start massacring the Mexicans, no matter what's illegal or not. Do you think there would be an outcry and a hue and cry and shut it down from ever being aired? Well, sure there would be. So why is it okay for the Mexicans to come out against the Gringos?
Well, all we have to do is look at who controls Hollywood, and you see the source of the problem.
Uh-huh.
It's the same Zionist bankers in New York, in London, in Paris, and Frankfurt, and Hamburg, and Hong Kong. On and on, it's the same group. Again, who pulls their strings?
Yep.
Well, very interesting. True, you've been up very late. I'm not going to keep you up any later.
Well, it's later where you are.
Well, I know. It's like that every night.
Well, you know, Don, the next time we get together here in Utah or I come to your town and we have pizza, well, I just want you to know I figured it out. If I eat a full pizza, I'm going to make sure I cut it in six pieces because I can eat six a whole lot better than I can eight.
Yeah.
Eight is too many, but six is just about right. Well, it's about the same time with your time zones. Well, God bless you, Don. It's a pleasure being on your show, as always.
You too. And I have to tell you, you really made me laugh with that piece that you sent me about Walking Eagle.
Isn't that the truth? I'd heard that, but then having the picture graphic, yeah, we just bought a lead with that. I think it's good. Brock went out and did a ceremony with it was there in the Lakota Nation basically honored him with a plaque, and here the chiefs were dressed in their full ceremonial headdresses and buckskins, and the plaque they presented, the news media was just amazed. They gave him a celebratory Indian name, and the plaque was inscribed with not Barack Hussein Obama, but this Lakota Sioux named Walking Eagle. And the news media, after he had left the ceremony, asked what the significance of that name meant. And he said, oh, it's just a bird that is so full of crap he can't fly.
Yes.
Walking Eagle. That's as good a name. Maybe we have to put that on to the new... one of the new birth certificates and mail it to him.
Yeah, or
Walking Eagle,
you know,
born in South Dakota at Lakota Sioux Reservation.
I quipped that I thought they might have named him Dances with Teleprompters, but they had a much better name.
He's a Teletubby.
Yeah, I saw that too. The purple one, right?
that's true. The purple one. Oh my goodness! It's what an interesting time, and that's to put it lightly. It just keeps getting more and more brazen in your face, isn't it? Well, Don, good night, and God bless you, and good night to all the listeners.
Okay. Well, I want to recommend that people visit your new website. Is that Dr. A True Ott or just
just www.atrueott.com. I just updated that today, putting up a little bit, just a little fraction of what I've got in photographic evidence, Don, on what I call forbidden archaeology. You know, take a look and a gander at that yourself.
Yeah,
we've got some. I was out over the weekend to some of these forbidden archaeological sites. The powers that be, the official BLM Forest Service archaeologists, are just saying this is all fraudulent. It's all hoax. It's all been manufactured. Well, it's not. These things are real. There is most definitely a culture that really predates anything, pre-Columbian. We're talking even about 4 or 5,000 years B.C. America and much of the world has a total different history than what the official version wants you to believe. But anyway, take a gander at that, and I'm just continuing to put more of my papers and whatnot and referencing your work as well.
Oh, well, thank you. And I reference yours on my site. Feel free to set up links. If you need any links or anything, let me know, and I'll give you the direct links to whatever you want.
Okay, I surely will do that.
And the name of the show, Monday through Friday, on the microeffect.com, is The Story Behind the Story. And that airs at 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific time. Thank you, True Ott, for being on the show.
Thank you, Don. God be with you and God bless you. Good night.
You too. Good night. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints with Dr. A. True Ott. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for broadcasting Evident Footprints, either live or in an archive. Also want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight at BBS Radio. Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me again tomorrow night when my special guest will be Mr. Michael Anthony. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.